A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast, everybody. Episode 220.
Yep.
220. That's the famous dart shout, isn't it?
Why? Are you okay?
I don't know. Good morning, Guy.
Hello. Hi, Rick.
How are you?
I'm very well. This is you'll wish you hadn't asked, Rick.
First off, I like your jumper.
Thank you very much. I'm wrapping today a Tiger Woods jumper for those people watching the podcast. Here it is.
Old school Tiger Woods jumper.
It's old school now.
I know.
Because this Tiger Woods jumper featuring the famous Tiger Frank head cover on the front, just below it, about an inch, is a Nike swoosh.
I wonder if Frank's got the chop too.
No, Frank will never get the chop.
We don't know what this new line is just yet from Tiger, because it actually gets announced as today at some point while we're recording the podcast, but you're going to hear this tomorrow. So you guys will know. We pretty much know it's Tiger Red.
So for those people, I'm sure everyone knows, Tiger has partnered with Nike Golf. He will no longer be wearing the swoosh on the golf course. The rumour is he's got his own clothing line. It's announced today, as you said. So we don't know, but we can do know. It's going to be called Sunday Red. Take on his fact that he always wears a red polo on a Sunday. I'm excited to see what it's like.
I wonder if he actually always wears a red polo on a Sunday.
Just on a general Sunday.
Just regardless of whether he's in the tournament or not.
Red briefs.
I can imagine him doing that.
I'd like
red pyjamas. Yeah. In fact, everything's red on a Sunday at home. Anyway.
What would you do if Tiger Woods said, you can play golf with me, but yeah, I'm going to be playing naked? Would you play?
Yeah. If I had to also play naked, well then it's a different conversation, but yeah, God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think I would too.
People would pay a lot of money for that. Sorry, we kind of dived in there. Went straight into it, didn't we?
We did. We forgot the...
did we forget?
The foreplay.
Wow.
Sorry about that. Keep it clean. We've got a lot to chat about today, Rick, because last week you touched on your take on LIV Golf, and it inspired me. And I know we don't go on and on about LIV Golf. Is it any good? Blah, blah, blah. But it's this year does feel like there's that little turn in the dial, doesn't there?
It does.
That they've got more players, more people starting to kind of potentially warm to it. You gave a great synopsis last week on your take on it. This week was Vegas. I watched a bit of it. We'll come on to that later on. We're also going to announce in this podcast, I'm not overselling it when I say this, a monster of a video that we've got coming next week where you played against somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And other than that, I've got loads of stuff to talk about.
Exciting times. Where should we start? How are you, though? I asked, how are you? And then you kind of went, yeah, I'm good, but...
Well, I'm good because my tonsillitis has gone.
Brilliant.
So as you can tell by the sound of my voice, I've got it back.
I actually had a lot of compliments last week about your voice.
It's sexy.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit sexy. It wasn't sexy that I had white spots on my tonsils, though.
No.
That wasn't as sexy. But I had a course of antibiotics. That's all gone. Distant memory. I beat it off like the man I am. But the only thing that's
so
bad...
Masculine.
The only thing that's a bit bad, I was thinking this morning when we were planning the podcast, is that at the minute, and I hate to admit this, but I'm going to, live, I kind of not got the golf bug. In terms of playing, that is. Not really...
I think... For a lot of people listening, certainly if you live outside of the UK and you're in America, obviously I've been very, very fortunate this winter that I've spent not a lot of time in the UK. I've been here, there, everywhere.
Correct.
And golf abroad, certainly in America, when you can play in shorts and t-shirts and the golf course are in incredible condition and it still feels like golf.
Yes.
Right now, I'm really sorry to say, but in the winter here in the UK, certainly Northwest UK, it's deary, it's dark, it's wet, it's just not a particularly pleasant. Even if it was a sunny day, like Saturday was a nice day.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
In context, nice day,
cold here at home. But even the golf courses, they're not going to be in great condition right now at this time of year.
Well, that's the thing. We played, obviously, in Dubai, which was, I think, early December, and those videos are starting to filter out now. So you might be watching those videos because they're going out now, but they were filmed a couple of months ago. And we had one on Friday with the fabulous Iona Stephen, your friend of mine. The comments on that video, if you've not watched it, go and check it out. She's incredible. She's such a nice person to be around and brings great vibes.
And just for everyone, she is literally as nice off camera as she is on camera.
Correct.
Like, there's no difference in her
at all. That's where you're different, though, isn't
totally
it?
Totally different.
Because the camera goes off and you're a right horrible man.
I am.
Really nasty.
I get a real diva.
You do.
I'm a mix between like Mariah Carey and Beyonce.
Without the looks. No.
I've got the arse.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Tiger can vouch for that. But it was great. And that, again, I know we can't always be fortunate to be abroad, but when you're playing golf like that, golf must be the best sport on earth. In a buggy, the sun's shining, you've got loads of like refreshments and you're playing okay and you've got good company. That is just dream golf. But like you said, when we're back in England, when it's like this and it's cold and it's dreary, I normally pride myself on, even if I don't play a lot, of going the range maybe once a week hitting some balls. At the minute, I haven't even been doing that. And I'm guessing a lot of our listeners and viewers are in the same boat because it is difficult. But I almost feel guilty for not doing, certainly when we're doing this podcast and we're talking about golf, and I'm still so into golf as a sport, obviously, but I just want it to become spring, and it's close, but it's not quite there yet.
But is it, I mean, there's obviously some sports which aren't seasonal at all. Swimming, the same anytime you do it, as long as you're indoor.
Yeah,
so it's the same every single time. Where obviously other sports like golf, football, soccer as such, there's a lot of other sports that do have that kind of horrible winter. Yeah. Do I really want to be playing on a wet football pitch in Manchester? It's really hard. But on the flip side, I think we're very lucky, certainly in the UK, that our summers don't get stupidly hot.
Yeah.
Because actually a lot of places that we've been fortunate to go recently, in Dubai, you cannot play golf in summer.
No.
Like, it's impossible. That's why they created night golf. Like, so to some degree, we have it a little bit worse off in the winter, but I think we have it much better off in the summer, where a lot of places have it a little bit better off in the winter, but not, I think it's worse playing. I would hate to play in real, real heat. I'd always play in cold over excruciating heat.
I think that's the thing. And we've had a question on the Facebook group. So again, we've got loads of questions today from the Facebook group, so we're going to dive through some of those. But one from Tim Jackson, and it's something we've discussed before, but people keep asking it, and I get it. And he's put, so Tim said, do you think golf clubs should offer a 7 to 9 month membership to help with the rubbish UK weather? Now, from a golfer's point of view, and exactly what I've just been saying myself, that would make perfect sense, in a sense of, I know I'm going to play from April to September, and that's me done. That does not make financial sense for a golf club. You still have to, you know, mow the greens and pay staff right through the winter.
Golf courses would literally shut down.
Of course.
A lot of golf courses would shut down if that was the model. And it's unfortunate, you know, I get it from a golfer standpoint. You want to pay for the months you play. But for a golf course, like you said, it's got to pay the bills every single month. That model just does not work.
No, and I think, again, if you are, certainly if you do like a direct debit, which a lot of people do, obviously, to help kind of financially, where you pay maybe £100 a month for your golf club or more or less, whatever. And again, you're playing like in the summer and that's coming out your bank, but you're playing 3 nights a week. And then it kind of doesn't, it feels quite palatable. But then you get to the October, November, December, January, February, and you might not be going at all. And every month, £100 coming out. It's quite difficult to get motivated, isn't it? Mm. To go out and play, even though you're paying for it. So I do understand that. And it must obviously annoy a lot of people. But there's no way golf clubs could survive, no. Is there?
And it must annoy golf clubs, certainly here in the northwest of England. Like, and loads of places around the UK, like, they have to shut. Like, golf courses, literally, they're underwater. They have to shut at certain times.
Well, that's why if I ever do join a golf club again, which I do plan on doing in the future once my little girl's a bit older and I've got a bit more time, etc. For me, I want to join a golf club that's twofold, that is better in the winter than others, which is hard, but certainly the more coastal golf courses, you get that. But I think as well, it's good to join a golf club if you can, where there's more to it than just the golf. So again, when I was growing up, the golf club I was at had a very like much almost a community feel, where people would go up without the golf clubs and go have some food, have a drink, watch the football, etc. And that's a little bit like the gym that I go to, where I do go and do work there or watch some football. a lot of golf clubs don't cater for that. They're very kind of cold when you go in and you're never sure if they're serving food or not. But the ones that are a little bit more forward thinking, that might put on events or make you feel really welcome and take pride in the food and the service, those are the ones that I would like to think would survive because they offer more.
Yeah, I mean, when I was, when I was an assistant pro at Mia, some of our busiest days were in the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
The golf course could be snowed under, like not open. You couldn't get a single spot in the car park.
Yeah.
Because it was a resort. You know, you'd go there for maybe the spa, you'd go there for the hotel once it got built. You'd go there for other reasons.
Exactly.
And I think golf courses have to take that kind of idea and bring it to life because you've got to have footfall through. And if they had enough footfall through in the winter, then maybe the idea of having a 7 to 9 month membership could work.
Yeah.
If they had enough business through the winter.
I think that for me would be somewhere, like if I lived much closer, the Belfry would be a good one because obviously in the summer, one of the best golf courses in the country, there's three courses there, but like the Sam's Bar and the Sky Sports News, the Chicken Goujons, you know, the pint upon pint of Coke Zero. That's a place where I could go and do some work from and just chill. And you think, even if I'm not playing today, and you might go in the gym there or whatever, like you're getting that full package.
It's got a great vibe.
It's also hard for most golf courses to compete with that.
Talking about vibes and great, not great.
Mm.
This weekend, there's a few golf tournaments on, as you alluded to. Again, there's obviously Live in Vegas, which those two words together, Live in Las Vegas.
Three words.
Surely, that was the most rowdy, crazy, out of control golf tournament on this weekend.
You're wrong.
That got made to look like a bridge tournament at the local ladies golf course.
Correct.
This weekend.
It did.
Because the waste management, which there's two new names that have come out of this week. Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people now call it the WM.
Yeah.
Abbreviation. Open. I've never heard that though before.
Save time, doesn't it?
Yeah, but no other year have they ever called it the WM.
I don't know. It's actually genuinely changed its name though. I know it sounds silly, but.
And then the other one is the Wasted Management.
Yeah, I get it.
Phoenix Open.
Pretty witty.
What a circus.
Yeah, so last year, I think it actually has rebranded as WM. Whether the fact they don't, the waste in it doesn't kind of sound as sexy, I'm not sure, but. Last year, we had this very discussion, didn't we, about the Waste Management Open, Phoenix Open, and how, you know, I'm sure a lot of regular listeners won't be surprised at my take on it. I'm a bit more boring when it comes to these kind of things, and I wasn't super sold on it. And I remember you being a bit more kind of into it, because last year it felt like it was a bit more about the fun, people had a few drinks, it was just kind of a different event, and that was something that I took some of the comments away. I don't tend to read the comments and take them to heart too much, but some of the people were saying, which I got, it's 1 week a year in the PGA Tour, let them do something different, let's show golf in a different light, let's attract a different audience where that's a right or wrong thing to do, let's let our hair down. So I kind of went into this week.
Hair was fully let down.
Yeah, I went into this week, and I've only watched bits of it and bits on social media, but went in with that exact mindset of, okay, this isn't every week. This isn't the Open. This isn't the Ryder Cup. This is a one-off event. Let's just let it be. Let it breathe. Let it do its thing. For me personally, I can only speak on behalf of me personally, I've nothing wrong with people going to an event and having a good time. And if that's a golf event, then brilliant, because I want, as a golfer, more people to enjoy the sport and it to look cool and whatever, accessible. From what I saw, though, and I know you're going to see the worst clips on social media, and that's exactly what a lot of the media outlets want to do, to show the worst bits. It's not my cup of tea whatsoever. Some of the scenes that were there were just absolute nonsense. And there'll be people listening to this now who wholeheartedly agree with what I'm saying, and there'll be people thinking, shut up, you boring person. But again, all I can only speak on behalf of me, I have nothing wrong with people going and having a couple of beers and enjoying a sporting event. But all that over the top, and it's just so like American frat boy, grow up and mature a little bit. It just does not appeal to me.
Well, I don't think it's as polarized. I think last year, if I'd have done this same poll, it would have been a bit more 50-50. I put a post on yesterday on Twitter. Has the fun, quote unquote, at the WM Phoenix Open gone past the line of acceptable? Okay. Mm-hmm. Nearly 7,500 votes. 80% said absolutely.
Wow.
It's gone past that point.
Wow.
20% said it needs more. those guys are crazy. I think when you look at the timeline of this, and there's a couple of takeaways here. I've never been to a Phoenix Open. So for me, yet. For me, I can't really comment on a golf tournament I've not been to. The Ryder Cup, again, from scenes on TV, did that come across as being a bit crazy and a bit rowdy?
Depends on, crazier and rowdier than a normal event, but I wouldn't look at it and go, God, that looks rowdy.
But I mean, the scenes at the end there, when you had the guy who looked like from KFC jumping into the pond on 16 after Tommy Fleetwood won the Ryder Cup, I don't feel like I've seen that at Ryder Cup before.
No, that's fair.
And then the scenes that actually went on beyond that, which actually, I don't think the TV show cameras showed it a lot. I've got clips on my phone. There was tens and tens of people jumping in this pond by the side of the 16th. And I was loving it. Don't get me wrong. I was there. I was soaking in the atmosphere. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. But I thought, that's interesting. That's a little move in the dial there. That's something a little bit crazier than what we've seen in the past. I think the Phoenix Open, and again, it's easy now to say in hindsight, I just think over each year the dial has just kept going up and going up and going up and going up until we've got to this point right now. Two or three years. And to some degree, you have got to look at the tournament itself. They very much gear themselves around open-armed, like having this kind of
absolutely,
like almost borderline craziness. Obviously, the 16th hole, the famous par three that's surrounded by the grandstand, they've encouraged that kind of somewhat behavior, that rowdier behavior, that kind of amphitheater that's fueled with beer and crazy outfits and everything else. And they've very much encouraged that. They've lent into that as this is our USP. I just think over the last couple of years, last year we saw all the hole-in-ones and all the beer going up on the green there. I think this year it was a real kind of melting pot in a few different ways. Each year it's going to get a little bit crazy, a little bit rowdy than the previous year. I think mix that in with the terrible weather that had happened. It, often terrible weather ends up you sitting inside, you're probably drinking a lot more. And then I just feel like they really can again lead into this. Yeah, let your hair down. This is a WM Phoenix Open. And it just got to a point, you can only see the stuff on social media, but like, guys rolling down, and that was another thing, because of the wet weather, you probably wouldn't have got that in previous years, rolling down these hills, sliding down these mud banks and just going absolutely berserk while the golf tournament's going on. You had guys obviously jumping onto the 16th, and you did a front flip into the 16th bunker, started doing star angels. You had that last year. You had a guy that ran from the 16th all the way to the 17th in the pond, swimming through the water. You did have that again last year, but it was almost, it felt like it was a guarantee to happen this year. Yeah. You were going to get streakers. You were going to get craziness. On Saturday, they actually stopped serving alcohol, which is crazy.
I didn't even know that.
They stopped letting people in, more people in, because it's getting so rowdy and crazy. I personally think they've lost control of that tournament a little bit.
I think for me, I agree with that. I think with these events and with it obviously trying to be something different, again, I'm not against it being a bit different and people letting the hair down. That's one thing to say. What they have to remember is once you start to let that dial get turned, it's very hard to firstly stop it getting turned even further, like you're saying, and then also to turn it back is even harder again. So I've used the example of that lad who jumped in the bunker and then started doing a snow angel in a bunker kind of thing. Let's say out the scale of audacity and shock, that was a 7, let's just say, for example. Well, how do you stop next year someone going, I want to one-up that. I want to go and do that, but then I want to do it naked.
Right, you're always going to
get exactly. So people now, it's like that's been set. Right, that was done. Oh, next year I'm going to go and get drunk and I'm going to do X, I'm going to do Y. It's very hard. And at what point does that actually become too far? I saw there was obviously fighting and stuff, and fighting can happen anywhere if you get the idiots and stuff. But, you know, the more people get drinking and intoxicated, and you've got more rowdy people of a certain demographic, let's be honest, younger males, if I'm being totally honest, and they're drinking too much, that's where fights break out. You know, at what point does that become, oh, a couple of lads had a couple of beers and had a bit of a fight, let's leave them to it. Or, you know, at what point does that happen in front of a child, or does the wrong person get punched, or someone get punched to the floor and, God forbid, lose their life? I don't know. I know it sounds very like you're taking it too far, but you kind of have to see where is it going. And all of that ultimately is because the WM and in the PGA Tour want this event to hit the headlines for those reasons and be different, but they have to be very careful. And
also, you saw this year for the first time players getting really annoyed.
Yeah,
You had altercations with Zach Johnson. So you had guys in the crowd shouting that Zach Johnson's captaincy of the Ryder Cup was terrible. They might have had a point. But either way, it's not nice to shout it when he's in a golf tournament. You had guys shouting in the back swing of Jordan Spieth on 18. He was absolutely fuming. You had guys shouting in the background of, I can't remember who was playing with him, but in Billy Horschel's group. And Billy Horschel was kind of saying, guys, what the hell are you doing? Like, it's our job. We're doing this for a living. At what point do the players go, I've had enough? Like, you're never going to see Rory there, are you?
Well, yeah.
Like, Rory's not been there for a few years. You're not going to see Rory there because, you know, again, he's somebody that maybe puts himself out there a little bit more that might be, you know, hurled abuse at potentially. When does it get a point that other big name players, and when you actually look at the leaderboard, there wasn't that many big name players already playing in it. When do you get those guys just going, you know what, it's not for me?
No, I know. And I suppose as well, what you have to think about with different sports and different events as well, is that some sports and some events within some sports very much cater to an audience that isn't really a fan of said sport. So what I mean by that is I've been to watch the racing at the Grand National twice, I think, the Ladies' Day, the day before the Grand National. I couldn't tell you anything about horse racing at all, but I went when I was in my early 20s, and the reason I went to the races was because it's a big drinking day.
Course.
And you go, you wear a suit, you don't even really watch the race, and you have a bet on a couple of horses, and you get drunk, and there's people being sick, there's people fighting, there's all sorts, and you kind of go expecting and knowing that's going to be there. And you know, look at maybe a little bit different, we look at the darts, certainly in the UK now, you know, when that's on around Christmas time, the audience, I'm guessing, has an interest in darts to a degree, but you go in more for the fact it's a big drinking session. And I think that is very much where this WM Open is at now. I've no facts to hand, so I'm kind of guessing a little bit, but I wouldn't imagine that the audience there percentage wise are as bothered about golf as they are at a normal PGA Tour event or the Open, because they're going for that day. So in some senses it worries me, in other sense it doesn't, because I can't imagine that's ever going to become the norm every week on the PGA Tour.
But what I'm almost alluding to, and this is why I said the Ryder Cup earlier, is does it actually leak out into other golf events? You know,
well, it's I don't know the answer to that. However, it's gonna have more of a negative effect than anything, because it has to, if you see people jumping into a bunker at one golf event like that and doing a snow angel, that's going to at least inspire one idiot, I'm sure, at one event throughout the rest of the year to do something similar.
Now, this isn't new, though. You go back to, was it 95 when John Daly won the Open at St Andrews? Yeah. You had a streaker on the
19th hole.
19th hole and an arrow point into his derriere. Like, this isn't new stuff. But I don't know, it just feels like at the moment that it's somewhat being encouraged rather than being kind of put off. And I think, it's very, very easy in hindsight to say this. Last year, did I enjoy the waste management? Yeah, I did. I was like, I like this. It's a bit of fun. It's got its place. This year, I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's gone too far now. But that's such a fine line. Like, what is, who determines what the line
is? Well, that's your line,
isn't
it?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, but I also think to some degree, and I know they have a lot of golf events in America, so I'm sure they're not too hard pressed. But let's say little Johnny and his dad and Phoenix is his hometown. He's going, oh, we're going to take you to a PGA Tour event this weekend. It's his first ever PGA Tour event. He's super excited to see Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler and all these guys. Little 12-year-old Timmy sees some guy sliding down a hill having beard chucked on his head. I mean, is that? I don't know. But, and I'm not a prude in that. But like the races, as you mentioned before, the grand, you don't really, kids don't go, do they?
No,
there's an age limit on it.
I don't think you can. I don't
know. So I mean, there's an age limit on it. I guess there is, but there's very little kids. Where I feel like PGA Tour events have to take some level of responsibility. And you know, I spoke about it last week about the LIV and the fact that there's obviously swearing on the broadcast. And this is where some people would say I'm almost sort of quite hypocritical, because I would be, I know for a fact, if I was at the waste management, I would be one of those idiots, not maybe it's no age limit on the 16th, but I would be wanting to have a good time, and I would be swearing if I go and play golf on a recreational purpose. But again, I'm trying to almost protect our sport in more eyeballs seeing that.
But that's the thing, though, isn't it? That people have a herd mentality, don't they? Most people do. So, you know, I actually went out on Saturday for a few hours with some of my friends. I was driving, but there's a couple of lads there who were letting the herd down, so to speak, and having a few drinks. And because there were 10, 12 of the lads, they get a bit loud, and nothing offensive, but a bit loud, a bit leery. They wouldn't behave like that if they're just with the wife or whatever, would they? Let's be honest. And they're still the same person. But I think it's natural human instinct. We all change slightly depending on who we're with. I'm sure everyone listens to the same. If you're with your mum, you might act different than with your best friend, or if you're with your boss, or whatever it looks like. I think when people go to that event, and you're probably a perfect example, not somebody who would ever dream in a normal event of being like that, but you go to an event where it's almost pushed upon you, this is the crazy day, everyone wears silly outfits, and everyone gets dead drunk and does stuff, you naturally start to be a bit more like that. And if that's just you, but then we amplify that by another 20,000 people, all adding up a little 5% on the Ricky meter, suddenly you've got an audience of people who are actually probably down to earth nice people, but all 5% more Ricky'd, suddenly it kicks off.
But how many of them woke up this weekend and gone, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
I bet they have.
That was a mistake. Why the hell have I slid down and put in my white... I mean, there was some ridiculous scenes. There really was. I mean, it seemed like a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Like an actual music festival, like Glastonbury, and it did a golf tournament.
And I think this is very much, it's down to people's opinions. I'd be very interested to hear in the comments on the YouTube video below, people's opinions on this. Did you like it or did you not?
I'm starting to sound like Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
It's a golf event.
And that's the thing. And I think obviously as well, as the PGA Tour is looking for more investment as it is, and the sponsors are paying so much more to be sponsors of events, is this something going to push more? Because it gets people watching it gets people talking about it. Does it get more people through the door paying for tickets and spend the money on site? Are we going to see golf go this way more? On the flip side then, as we started out this conversation, the LIV Golf...
Sorry, quick one before you come on to that though. Who won and what score? And what was the result of the tournament?
I know Nick Taylor won. I think he was minus 21.
Good, yeah, well done. But like, it's a side story.
I
actually stayed up. I stayed up right on. I watched the first playoff hole,
mm-hmm.
which was incredible. I mean, Nick Taylor birdied 18 three times in a row.
Ridiculous.
He birdied in regulation play to get into the playoff against Charlie Hoffman. And what's mad with Charlie Hoffman is, one, I would have really, really loved to see him win because he's kind of quite a big name on the PGA Tour, mm-hmm. etc. Do you know what clothing brand he wears?
Go on.
Greg Norman.
Does he?
On the back of his shirt.
Big shark.
He's got a big Greg Norman shark, which would have been somewhat ironic. But Nick Taylor then got into a playoff with Charlie Hoffman. Both players birdied the first playoff hole, which was incredible. Both really good putts. And I actually ended up falling asleep then, annoyingly. But it was like 1 a.m. here in the UK. And then
you stay up late, don't you?
Nick Taylor won the next playoff hole with another birdie.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Scottie Scheffler nearly won it three times in a row.
That'd be insane.
But again, I must admit, you look at leaderboard, okay? And right, Charlie Hoffman, lower tier PGA player, mm-hmm. okay? Nick Taylor, lower tier PGA player. Scottie Scheffler, obviously world number one. Sam Burns, fairly high. Thigala, fairly high now. Yeah. John Spieth. I'm now struggling a little bit. Adam Scott. Justin Thomas, but I'm down to like 12th best player in the, 15th is Matt Fitzpatrick. Above that, there's probably five recognisable names in the world of golf.
Well, and that very nicely, because I agree with you, leads me exactly onto my next point. So last week you gave, again, we touched on this before, your synopsis on LIV Golf and where you're at with it now. And I have finally, after however many years we've been talking about LIV Golf and we will continue to, I know where I'm at with it right now. And I can finally announce that today.
Is this your big announcement?
I am Team Four Aces for life, baby. No, I'm joking. Now I've had time to digest it. I watched a bit more of it this weekend. I watched some of the PGA Tour as well. I've decided that where I sit with LIV, I'm going to watch it when there's a strong leaderboard, essentially. Because if you look at the list of the roster now of LIV Golf and who they've got, there is a few names, I'll be honest, of guys that I wouldn't know if they walked past me in the street. That's just a fact. Out of the 54 guys, there is. But there's also a handful, or maybe two handful now, of golfers who are huge, huge names. And something else happened this weekend, again, with John Rahm. He finished 8th in the end. He was in contention right until kind of the end, and he fell.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Away. You cannot deny, no matter if you hate Liv, love Liv, love the PJ Tour, whatever, you can't deny that John Rahm is one of the very best players on the planet. He's the top three. He, for me now, is the new yardstick, the new measuring stick, because he is in form. You know, some of the guys that have gone to Liv have dropped off, come back again. But it's always hard to kind of know, in my opinion, of like, well, yeah, X person's, Taylor Gooch has won that event, let's say, but how, you know, what's the competition like he's playing against? Is he actually beating good golfers in the prime? If some of them fell off, some of them washed up, etc., etc. You can't deny now, if you're playing a live event and beating John Rahm, you're playing good golf. So firstly, I was inspired to watch it because I saw the leaderboard on the final day and it was strong. Some of the names, obviously DJ ended up winning it. John Rahm was up there. Matt Wolf was doing well again. It's quite good, nice to see him back. And there's a handful of names up there. So I watched some of it. Similar to points what you said last week, the whole noise and the bugs and the hole started to wind me up. Maybe because you'd mentioned that already, I was listening for it. Again, they kept saying Championship Saturday. It finished on Saturday this week, obviously, because the Super Bowl. Again, I kept hearing that, maybe because you'd mentioned it already. But when I was watching it, I wasn't remotely interested in the team side of it again. That just doesn't appeal to me whatsoever yet. The team side couldn't care less. I wanted to see who won, but I was excited because of the fact there was big names in it. And another thing I thought of, again, and it's an obvious thing we will have touched on many a time before, but what really came to light was, I know whenever the next event is even on, which I don't know off the top of my head, but the next event...
It's Jeddah.
Jeddah.
In Saudi.
I know which players will be playing in that event. I know for a fact that those same guys are going to be playing. I don't know when it comes to the next PJ Tour event. You don't know who's... Like this one, this feels like the Phoenix one's a big event, but yeah, there was no Rory. But then Scottie Scheffler's there. It is difficult sometimes to know, but... I think my allegiance, if you want to call it that, all my allegiance lies with right now is whatever event I'm going to watch on a Sunday night, if they're both on, whichever's got the strongest leaderboard is the one I'm going to tune into. It's as simple as that. There's no bias, there's no favourite. Well, I probably would still say I prefer the PGA Tour, but on that, whichever one, as you know, an hour spur, I'm going to watch the one that's going to entertain me the most. It's as simple as that.
I was a bit torn this weekend because, one, I didn't have a lot of time in my schedule to watch an awful lot of golf. Last weekend, I felt like I had a lot more time. If I had an option to go and flick, I kind of end up double screening a lot of the time.
You like a double screen, don't you?
I end up double screening a lot of time. I'd like either PJ or live on the TV and add whatever else on my phone. I think there's a couple of, which I didn't do that last week because mainly the Pebble Beach event finished a day earlier, so finished without Sunday, so I didn't get to see that Sunday. The one thing between the two broadcasts, I personally think the commentary on PGA Tour is better than Liv, personally. There's an awful lot of adverts on PGA Tour.
Yeah, of course.
Like a lot of adverts to the point where it was like, I felt like there's almost more adverts than not. And then the other thing was I thought the whole noise had been turned down. I thought it was actually slightly quieter this week, believe it or not. But apart from that, it was the only real change.
You know what, as well?
Oh, sorry, last thing. I'll tell you what I was really impressed with. And I don't know if this actually did work out like this on the Saturday. And again, just all those little things of finishing on a Saturday so people could watch the Super Bowl. It was, you had Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau and John Rahm all tied for the lead. And I think there was another player, but it was almost no question who was going to get paired together. You had those three. And you cannot deny, if you have Dustin Johnson, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau in a group, I mean, what a group.
Yeah.
What a group, eh?
You know as well, what I was thinking is, and I know we're very naive to look at it, like you have to be exclusively a fan of one or the other, and I've just said exactly my piece, I'm going to watch whichever one floats my boat more. But there are some people who are now exclusively live golf, and a lot of people who are not willing to entertain it, and I get that, and you see it on social media. But one thing I must say now, I'm kind of warming to, if you like, on the live golf side, is if you,
the wobbly stool just kind of, yeah.
Is if you are a fan of live golf and you are exclusively a fan of live golf, so that small percentage of people that will only watch live, that's all they care about. As a fan, it's quite easy because you've got a handful of events throughout the year. You know when they're going to be. As we've just touched on, you know what players are going to be there. You've actually got a week's off where you don't have to watch it every weekend. You don't have to worry. It sounds silly. There's no like world ranking confusion. There's no real like, oh, this is a big event, this is a small event, oh, Rory's in this one, Rory's not in that one. It's actually quite a simple thing to follow. If you want to get wrapped up in that kind of live golf world, it feels quite insular. It's quite simple, isn't it? But whereas if you're watching the PGA Tour, there's something on every single week, but some weeks don't really matter, but then some weeks do, and then you get world ranking points for some events and or big points for some, not big for others. It is a bit more hard to follow as a fan.
And to some degree, the PGA Tour might have started simple, but give it time. Yeah. And Liv might start simple, but then down the line, exactly. It might get more confusing when, you know, more things get added, because it will do. It will eventually get added more. It's you know, it's very interesting. I'm... For the third year, kind of looking at this, the first couple of years I saw there was almost no cracks or issues with the PGA Tour, and lots of issues and cracks with Liv. Mm-hmm. Now I'm seeing limited, but still cracks in Liv. I feel like I'm seeing more in the PGA Tour. I'm seeing more things that I'm like, yeah, you know what, this isn't right. And I feel like it's got worse. I feel like their product's got worse. As Liv's products got better.
I'd agree. Just a quick side note. Do you value the listeners of this podcast and the viewers of this podcast?
With all my heart.
Okay, well, good, because that's the answer I wanted to give. We need them a little heads up. Today, so we're actually doing this on Monday, as you know. This comes out Tuesday the 13th. So today, on Tuesday the 13th, at 2 p.m, Rick has a giveaway on his Instagram page. So if you use Instagram, please make sure you go and visit him. He is going to be giving away some of the absolutely brand new Echo LT1 shoes.
Am I?
You are. Oh. You are. Your own. Any size, any colour that's available, we'll sort them out for whoever's lucky enough to win. I wanted to give everyone a heads up that, I mean, you don't have to, it's not hard to enter. Just basically, I think it's going to be a case of following Rick, which most of you will do already. Follow Echo, maybe drop a comment or something. But that's going to be live at 2 o'clock UK time. Just didn't want anyone to miss out. So you're in the car now and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Don't forget. Don't have to do it at 2 o'clock. You can do it at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or maybe even a couple of days or leave it running. But go and enter that giveaway because they are very nice looking shoes.
We need to give away that limited edition clubhouse head cover, yes, as well.
I've got that to one side, so I'll pick someone today for that. I've had a couple of emails. We've not done emails for a while, which is bad. I do still read them, so sorry if you've sent them in. They don't get neglected. If you want to send an email, we'll get back on the email chain, I think, because I do enjoy the emails. It's podcast@rickshields.com. It's that simple. So if you've got a dear Rick, you want Rick to give you some advice on something, feel free. One of the emails which I had, which I'm going to read out, which is a really good one, was from Matt Ranger. It was basically about the waste management. So I think, Matt, we've answered his question there in more than enough depth. He wanted to know your take on it. I think you've done that. So Matt's question has been answered. But I've got another one from a question from Max Brotherhood. I wonder if he's relative of Steve Brotherhood, the caddy who's been on the podcast before. Said, hi, Rick. What would be your top tips for playing a golf course that's not your home course? I play off a 16 handicap. In the last 3 to 4 months, I've played so many other courses, but I find every time I play a new golf course, I seem to shoot way above my average score, in spite of how well I'm actually hitting the golf ball, whether that's through penalties or poor club choices, etc. Any tips would be really helpful. I love the podcast. So what would you say to Max?
I think the first off, Max, it is hard playing different golf courses all the time.
Correct.
Like really hard. You know, we experience it in the videos. You know, often I've played a first ever round of golf around a golf course, and I'm expected to go out and shoot break 75. And I think to some of the listeners, that's something to bear in mind. Not that excuse is bad play, but sometimes if you just don't know a golf course, it's very difficult to make the right decisions or to be able to know the layout or where to miss or where not to miss. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can play into your advantage as well. Sometimes you could be stood on a tee box going, don't really know what this does. I'm just going to smash driver down the middle. And you do, and you get down and you're like, this was never driver because it's out of bounds left, water right, and you didn't know about it. This is why obviously some of the best players in the world have the practice rounds before they go and play, because it's so important to get that kind of understanding of the golf course. But I think that the easy wins would be course map, like a planner before you go out and play to actually have a look at the holes. If you can talk to someone who's played the golf course before, maybe even ask the pro in the pro shop, you know, what do I need to know about this golf course? If you can play with someone who plays from that golf course, brilliant. If there's even a local caddy that you can even use for that golf course, you know, I know that comes with a price, but it's valuable. But bearing in mind, you are probably going to shoot slightly higher than your normal score is the big Absolutely. Takeaway.
You know what I'd say as well on that? I think, and I'm probably some degree, maybe not so much now because we play a lot of different courses, but beforehand, culprit of this. I think the people who play at a single golf club a lot actually have no idea how far they hit the golf ball. And an example I'll use, the second hole at my old golf course, a short par three, I never really used to know, if I'm being honest with you, how far that hole was. But I knew what club I'd hit because of trial and error. And obviously there could be different winds and stuff, but you know, you go onto that hole, you pull out your 8-iron just out of habit. But then if you get to a golf course where you go to the second hole, and that's also a par three and it's 155 yards and you've never played it before, what do you hit? You've got no idea. Yeah. So I think that's something that people don't do enough.
Almost a creature of habits to some degree.
Absolutely. A couple of questions from Facebook, Rick, and I don't want to tease, or not even tease, should we tell people who the guest on the next 10 Shot Challenge is? Because it's an absolutely insane one.
We should.
So a couple more questions. Dave Creasy has said, is Rick still going to do teaching videos, coaching videos?
Yeah, absolutely. I've still got them on my channel. You typically, on the main channel, we'll release them seasonally. At the moment, there's no real value in releasing them in the off season, the winter season. But as we start to get into spring and summer, there'll definitely be sprinkling of more coaching videos. I still love making coaching videos. I love the feedback we get from the viewers. Also on the Facebook page as well, if you've not checked out the actual Facebook official page, not the podcast page, but the official page, there is also a load of coaching videos on there that gets uploaded. We actually just had a conversation this morning about filming some brand new coaching videos to help you get better this season in 2024.
Nice.
Or for a great price of absolutely free.
One from Steve Perry. It's not so much a question, but it's more of a statement that's had 13 likes. So it's obviously something that's touching the heartstrings of other people. He said, I think it's in your best interest and the interest of everyone that follows the channel to do as many collaborations with Iona as possible. The vibes last week were superb.
Deal.
Yeah.
She's very, very easy to film with. And she's wonderful.
She's, you know what? If you watch the video, if you've not seen it, please do go and watch it. It's a good one. But off camera, I think some of it might have made the cut, but there was a lot of chat about Iona trying to outdrive me. Now, she'll obviously, what am I saying this? She had no chance because I'm a big hitter. However, she literally hit every single tee shot 10 out of 10.
Yeah, as hard as she could as well.
And she, man, but she rips it. And although I was obviously hitting it further, like, honest to God, I mean, she'd hit it further than most blokes at my golf club. Honestly, she would. But also, the fact that it was like on a frozen rope, it was just nailed, it was nailed, it was nailed. And there was a few times she nearly caught me.
I like a competitive edge as well.
Well, that was what was funny, because she knew that deep down, she kept saying, oh, you'll have to miss hit one, I'll have to nail one. But like, honestly, she hits it so well. And then kind of linking on from that, because you can say something, sorry.
I know what you're probably going to ask about next, so I was going to bring that up. Unless you go and ask him.
I don't think it's the same thing.
Okay.
What I was going to say next, another question from Ashley Hewins, and the reason I'm asking this one is that we've had a conversation this morning externally about making this happen. Would Rick do a 10-shot challenge against an LPGA tour professional?
Absolutely.
We have been in conversation, I won't give any names away because it might not happen, but we've been in conversation about filming our first ever LPGA tour player for a 10-shot challenge against an absolute... what's the word I'm looking for? Legend.
I would say
future legend.
I would say there's two names that have been put into the hat that are probably the most recognized lady golfers, professional golfers out there right now. So really excited about hopefully getting one or even both of those set up, which will be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on two things. Quite a lot of questions, and again, rightly so, and we were going to touch on this anyway. Obviously, the last week, was it this time last week or tomorrow last week, was the Good Desert Open.
Yes.
The first live golf event on YouTube. And I spoke about it openly a couple of weeks ago that I couldn't make it, unfortunately, quite literally because of logistical reasons. Also, I made a huge promise to my daughters that I'd be at their dance show, which would have clashed with it. And so, unfortunately, that had to come also as a priority. But just logistically, trying to get over there in the time frame after flying back from Orlando, it just could not have happened. It was impossible, which was really, really frustrating. I wish I'd known more in advance about it. However, there is another live event which has been planned for June, I think it is. If I can make that, I will do my best to do so. But I also want to talk about the tournament, and I want to give massive kudos and congratulations to the guys at Good, because it was very... very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive indeed. To not only first off be able to get as many names as they got down there, which was great to see. Someone who is obviously, some people call me the grandfather of YouTube golf. I was almost like proud watching it. I was watching it going, go on, lads, this is great to see. The viewing figures were fantastic. I thought the actual live coverage was very, very, very solid. I think possibly in the future, maybe night golf wasn't the best idea in the world. It didn't make the imagery look quite as good, but I understood why they wanted to potentially do it at night. It's that point of difference. It's not a normal golf event. I just thought it was brilliant. It was a little bit of a shame that it went onto a platform after nine holes. It went onto Peacock, which in the outside of the US, you can't actually register to. So that was a little bit of a shame. I would have loved to have seen it fully on YouTube, just as a fan. Like I was up, I mean, it was the wrong time of day for me, because obviously it was over in Arizona. I wanted to watch pretty much every single bit of it, and I kind of got through it, and I was like ready to wake up in the morning to go back and watch the back nine. I couldn't. It wasn't available up until later, and did release it on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, that must have come down to funding it. I guess 100%. It must have cost so much to fund that. But like you said, I think it just shows, doesn't it, that people are really enjoying watching their favourite content creators play golf. And I think, you know, it comes back down to a little bit of why we watch the PGA Tour or Live Golf or anything. It's ultimately to be entertained, isn't it? You're watching the PGA Tour to be entertained by who is going to win said event, and also watching some of the best golf shots in the world by the best players. Whereas with watching YouTube, and, you know, let's be honest, there's some good players on here and there's some not so good players, including myself, and they're not so good players. But people are watching still be entertained by the personality, obviously probably more so than the actual golf. And it just makes you think, doesn't it, like, where will golf YouTube be in 5 years' time? I think it has to be careful not to get too similar, if you like, to things like the PGA Tour and stuff in terms of production, because that might start to almost get lost a little bit then. I think there's that element of homemade to a degree has to still be there, and rawness is key. But it's exciting.
I think there's just a little bit of feedback, and this is from viewers as well as me. I think that a lot of people shared that same opinion, that it was a shame it went onto Peacock at halfway, which again, I understand it from a financial thing. And then the other thing, it seemed like they featured on five or six key players, and they didn't really show the whole field, which again, that must have been a logistical nightmare. Yeah. Like, we have genuinely looked into live streaming a golf event. We've talked about doing the YouTube major, trying to get everybody into one place, which already is logistically hard, because everyone has schedules, busy schedules, albeit that. And then also trying to live streaming events as such a standard. It's bloody hard. But kudos to the lads. They've gone out there and done it. I'd have loved to have been involved in it. I really would have been. They on YouTube, it's had nearly 1 million views. Don't think all that was live streamed. I think a lot of that was post event. But fair dues to the lads. They've done a great job. I know it's a big team behind them as well. I would still love to do a YouTube major, a live YouTube major. And this is kind of give, certainly me, even just that insight of what maybe I want to do different with my golf event, how I can make it be, you know, stand out, how I can potentially pick up on good things that the guys in Good Good have done and kind of use that, but also a few bits of the feedback that I had and even fans had, and how we can even improve that experience more. So I'm sure they're doing the same for their next live event. I'm looking forward to trying to do a live event this year. So yeah, it's awesome to see.
So here is the big announcement. We might even tease this in the title of the podcast because it's worthy of it. A few weeks ago, when you were away filming,
months ago,
you filmed a 10-shot challenge with a name that I'll let you say in a minute, a massive name. I wasn't there for this. However, on Friday, just gone, I watched through the footage, the first kind of rough cut of footage of this 10-shot challenge. And without going too far with this now, it was one of those players where it actually took me minutes about, this is ridiculous because of how long I've played golf for, how long you've played golf for, the players that we watched growing up. This guy is one of that handful who have been there all that time. It's an amazing video.
And the good thing is we've also got a podcast coming out with him next week. Next Friday, the new 10-shot challenge. Me versus Sergio Garcia.
Wow, El Nino.
So this was huge. Obviously, it was lots of time in the build up. There was reasons why we've not been able to share it till now. I was over in America filming with Bryson over in kind of Jupiter way, and then we took a quick trip up to Austin where Sergio lives. I played in his charity golf day, which is actually amazing to be fair. And then the day before that, we did a 10-shot challenge around Spanish Oaks, which is one of the most beautiful golf course I've ever seen, but also hardest. Now, I'm not going to give too much away about the level of golf I played, but I think you're going to enjoy it. I think the viewers are going to sit back and enjoy it. That's out next Friday.
You know what? Again, it's hard sometimes because when I'm fortunate enough to be there on these 10-shot challenge shoots, it's incredible to watch these guys up close and personal, like Tommy in the last one. The only downside is, it's a silly downside to say, that when I then watch the edits, it's sometimes quite hard because, like, I've seen it all before, so you have to kind of watch it again and make sure there's no errors and it's all nice and everything. But with this one, I obviously wasn't there. So to watch it back and to hear some of the things that Sergio was saying and the fun he was having, you could tell he was enjoying being there. And again, what a legend. He came across really well. And that's something that's so important with these videos. It's not just about the result, is it? Let's be honest, if who's going to win. It's about how they come across and learning to know those golfers a little bit more. Yeah, what a guy. I can't wait for people to watch that video.
And the podcast I also filmed with him just before we played, that's going to come out next Monday. Tuesday. This was before... quite a couple of big announcements. This was before John Rahm had signed with LIV. This was before he actually came second last week in Mexico at the LIV event after losing out to Joaquin Niemann. But his story about what he wants to achieve still in golf is incredible. So looking forward to you listening to that as well. And then... yeah.
Just a minute. Do you think it's weird that you were like playing as a junior and you were like... all right, probably the best junior club, albeit a small club,
even that,
with not many great juniors. You went to golf college and again, wasn't the best at golf college and didn't really work very hard. And now you're playing against Sergio Garcia, who's filling in your divots for you. It's quite weird, cool, isn't it?
I was possibly the most nervous I've ever been.
Mm.
And it was like intense first tee nerves every shot.
Yeah,
for 18 holes of intense nerves, and something I need to work on that. But I think when you get the opportunity to play with someone like, I've grown up watching Tiger, well, yeah, and Sergio, as in like he came up in that era.
Well, see, that's the thing. We're always looking at at these elite golfers and who we can get on the next 10-shot challenge, and we want to have kind of some level of a mix of newer players or younger players and the more established players and maybe some players who we might look at who may be out of the prime now, but fully huge names. But when you look at a guy, and absolutely Sergio fits into this bracket, I literally don't really remember playing golf, or I don't even remember being alive, really, and in a golf set sense, that's his, sorry, without knowing who Sergio was.
He turned professional in 99.
Well, I literally started playing 98 as a 7-8-year-old.
36 professional wins, 11 PGA Tour wins, 16 European Tour wins, obviously the Masters in 2017.
I'm so happy you got a major. So happy.
We like I say, we'll dive in. We'll do a little bit of an intro for next week's podcast as well, but he dives into what he wants to still achieve in the Ryder Cup, what he wants to achieve with other major goals as well. So he was lovely with his time. He honestly really, really was lovely with his time. And already we've spoke about a potential collaboration again in the future, because I think he really enjoyed it. He doesn't do a lot of this. No. Don't see Sergio Garcia on a lot of YouTube videos. He's quite kind of, not protective in that sense, but he's just not someone you see a lot in that setting.
Did he ask after me? How was Guy?
Yep. Maybe with that accent.
You know what's really funny? I've never told this story before. So when I was growing up, obviously a huge Sergio Garcia fan, there was a very famous Adidas. It was a polo shirt and also a windbreaker with the three stripes down it.
The blue one.
Yeah, well, I actually had the grey version. There was two. He used to wear that blue one quite a lot. And I got the grey version. And he also, when he used to wear Titleist hats years and years and years ago, we're talking about literally 99, on the side of it, he used to have El Nino, which I think means the boy in Spanish, or it's a loose translation of something like that. Let me have a quick look what it means. I think it means like little boy or young boy. It was basically what he used to have in his hat. And again, I was at 9 years old.
Yeah, little boy.
And I got my mum to stitch into my hat the boy on the side of a Callaway. And I remember it. I must have literally been 8 or 9 and had this red Callaway hat. And no disrespect to my mum, but it was stitched horrendously. And it wasn't like fine that you get done embroidery. It was like actually like stitching. And I almost felt like, all right, tosser, walking around the golf club as an 8-year-old kid with a big head and no shoulders and a red Callaway hat with the boy on the side. But yeah, that was what I did.
That's what scarred you for life.
Exactly.
And then just one more question, as much as I know we've talked about the topic a few times already. There's been a couple of questions about the Hit Channel. It's almost like trying to articulate it in a way that people understand it. Basically, the Hit Channel is not going anywhere. It is going to be back with content soon. We've had a restructuring of staff for that channel. And unfortunately, at the moment, it has to take a slight backseat while the other channels take priority. So I think that's the simplest way of saying it.
I think we're committed to the Hit Channel. We've got the studio, which we're going to be using for the videos you'll see. And obviously, we've reviewed the TaylorMade driver, the Callaway driver, all on the main channel in that studio, the Cobra, etc. But, you know, realistically, we have to prioritise what's the most important. The most important, it's almost like a tiered effect, isn't it, ultimately? And the most important videos are the main channel videos, your 10-shot challenges with Sergio Garcia, etc. They take time, they take planning, they take a lot of effort in production and post-production. The podcast, we absolutely love doing the podcast. And to be totally frank and maybe too honest with you, it's fairly easy for us to do. We've got this amazing facility here, what we do it in, where we come in and Matt, who does all the work behind the scenes, does a great job. It takes quite a lot of his time, but he does it seamlessly. And we just kind of do it, don't we? It's quite easy, but again, so rewarding. We love it. The Hit Channel will be back, but it just takes a lot more work than probably people realise. And at the moment, that time has been spent on other areas, but it will come back.
Yeah, like I say, it's not a lost leader. I know people have been saying, why did you set it up? It's the fact we wanted a platform to put on as many golf equipment reviews as possible. That's still the plan for that channel. It's just that we've not had the manpower to be able to achieve that at the moment, because of restructuring.
When do we get that cloning machine issues fixed, finally? We'll correct. Have two or three Ricks?
I think we'll do three.
Three.
In fact, I know Claire doesn't want a version, actually. Claire,
she wants the better one.
Ricky.
A little,
Dickie Shields.
Yeah, and then clone a few of the editors. I can even clone myself.
Why not?
Be a bit better at golf, or clone myself. A little bit better at golf. Maybe just a bit off scratch. Nothing crazy.
Just off scratch.
Maybe that extra quarter of an inch so I can be 6 foot.
Oh.
Because I'm 5'11 3/4 and it pains me. I can't ever tell someone I'm 6 foot because I'm not. I'm 5'11 3/4. An extra quarter of an inch, if you get what I mean, wink, wink, would be perfect, Rick.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. As always, your support is amazing. And we shall see you next week with the Sergio Garcia podcast.
Do your best Spanish impression quickly. Barcelona. That's Italian, is it not?
What's the, how do they say bye?
Ciao.
Ciao, bella.
No, ciao. That's Italian again, isn't it?
What are you doing with you?
I don't know, but adios.
Oh, yeah, adios. Adios, amigos.
Nice.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.